So how was it on the farm?
The only thing I have remembrances of the farm is taking eggs and throwing them at the barn door and getting in trouble with my father. I remember getting a cow in the barn and thinking I was going to milk this cow, and I realized it takes stronger hands than mine to squeeze the teats of a cow to get the milk to come out. And so my father couldn't My father couldn't understand why that cow was standing in the barn. Mm. So that's the only thing I have. And then I have a remembrance of preaching to the chickens out there, because my career actually started on that farm. I must have gotten it because we went to church and realized that the preacher, I have no recollection of this, except that why would I stand on a tree stump and preach to the chickens and then go into the house and complain to my mother because the chickens kept running in and out of my church and they wouldn't pay attention to me.
Lutheran, I suppose.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Have you ever heard the phrase, you don't save any souls after 12 minutes? How long did you preach to the chickens?
No. It was shorter than that, I'm sure. But at 3 years old, I didn't have time to prepare a very long sermon.
I wonder about Minnesota and Lutheran, I assume. Minnesota and Lutheran and Norwegian, all of that seems like it's tied together.
It is.
And the community was large, and what was special about the culture, if anything, that you recall?
Well, first of all, you know, Lutheran is a state church of Norway, so when they come here, they are obviously going to be Lutherans. And within the Lutheran church, there are liberals and there are conservatives. My mother actually found the church that became a mainstay of our family, Bethel Lutheran Church on Belmont Road in Grand Forks. And that turned out to be a very conservative branch of the Lutheran Church. They were Church of the Lutheran Brethren. And so it was very strict. We weren't, you know, not allowed to see movies, could not go bowling, could not do any of those things.
And when did you realize that was different than some other
kids? It when children in the neighborhood had birthday parties and they were going to a movie, and I could not go to the movie, but could go to the birthday party after the kids had come home from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I noticed that, right? And, of course, I was young at the time when you realize those things. You're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and you just press on. You don't argue or fight about those kinds of things.
Right.
And, you know, then it's
the way your universe is limited at the moment.
Right.
I see, I'm using notes, and so are you. I made some, you made some, and we've both got both of them, but I see that the first house you lived in was that you remember was 1018 Oak Street.
Yeah, that was 1018 Oak Street. That was the first house I remember. We were, I don't know, maybe a few blocks from the tracks, but my father's
the good
first,
way or the bad way?
The good way. And my father he took any kind of a job. He was a farm boy, and he loved the farm. And he would never have been living in town if it wasn't for the fact that my mother wanted her children raised in a town environment, I suppose for education purposes or whatever she questioned. And, of course, it was the best thing that could have happened to us, that we moved to town, and it was good for my father as well.
Why do you say that?
Which part?
That was the best thing that happened to you.
Well,
I mean, what's wrong with one-room schoolhouses in the 40s?
Right, there is nothing wrong with one-room schoolhouses, because many of the people that I've interviewed in Voices of Oklahoma, their education started in a one-room schoolhouse, mm-hmm. and they went on to do great things. I think probably it was the church that she connected with. Because then I ultimately, in high school, went to the church school in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, and then connections I made there, which we will talk about. I think that was the biggest reason, or the best reason we moved to Grand Forks. She didn't know it at the time, but it turns out that was the best.
You and I have something almost in common. The street where I grew up was Oak Street, and my address was 1017 in Cushing, Oklahoma.
Yeah, and I have fond memories of that neighborhood. I can name names from back then, Daryl Danielson and Richie and Raji Rose and Emmett Olson and Greg Christensen, and I had a wonderful, wonderful childhood. I was a very active outdoor boy. I did not enjoy being in the house. From the minute daybreak, I was outside playing, and I've been an outdoor boy ever since.
That, I assume, was a community where you didn't pay that much attention to security and have alarm systems and guard dogs and stuff like that.
That is correct. And so that was in the 40s. You see, I was born in 1941, so we're talking about 47 and 48, 49.
Late 40s.
And then on into the 50s, which the 50s, I think, were probably the last most innocent era of America.
And you would have been in high school then,
yeah,
right?
I graduated in 59 from high school. But then the first school I attended was Roosevelt Elementary. We had moved by that time to Cottonwood Street, which was right across the street from Roosevelt Elementary. And I did my 6 years there, and then on to South Junior High School, and then on to high school. I did a high year high school in Grand Forks Central. But then my parents wanted me, I think, out of town and out of the house.
Yeah, come on, John.
I think that I was probably could have ended up with the wrong crowd.
John, if somebody hears this, they're going to say that that may have actually been true, and surely it was not. They wanted you out of town.
Well, I'm being facetious. I mean, they wanted me in a more safe environment, which was at Hillcrest Academy in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, and that was at boarding school. And that was
safer in what kind of sense? That you wouldn't be attracted by movies and girls and dancing and cigarettes behind the barn?
I think it's the kind of people that I probably was beginning to run with. And
really?
That was not a good crowd, right? Right. But the issue of Hillcrest Academy was one of those things that every boy or girl born into the Lutheran Church in Bethel would eventually go to Hillcrest Academy. So,
is that a high school? Or?
Yeah, right. Last 2 years I went there, and that was good because I made very good acquaintances, and then ultimately maybe a career change came about there.
Do you want to talk about the career change, or do you want to finish your education thing?
Well, my education actually ends with Hillcrest Academy in 1959, mm-hmm. because then after that, I was kind of in limbo. I didn't know what I wanted to do. The church synod had a Bible school there, so I went back to Bible school just because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I actually roomed with three people. One of them, his name is Chuck Ewan, and he'd been a radio broadcaster. And
now, where is this in relation to Grand?
Fergus Falls is 120 miles south of Grand Forks.
Oh, okay, all right.
In Minnesota,
so it's a couple of hours away.
Yes, it is. Right. But we have. Chuck Ewan was on his way to seminary then those days, and we'd be sitting in our apartment and studying and talking, and he'd say to me, John, with that voice of yours, he says, you really, really should be in radio.
You ever had any experience in school and speech, debate,
I did.
Any of that kind of stuff?
I did, right. But I hadn't really particularly focused on radio at that point yet. So he kept saying, oh, well, how do I get into radio? Well, he says, there's a radio school in Minneapolis, Brown Institute. And he'd been on radio. He didn't go to radio to any training. So it was one of those things that you file away. And then Grand Forks, I went back home to Grand Forks, and I worked. And then it was the fall of 1960, and so when I went to the University of North Dakota, and I really had radio in my head, and I'll never forget, I went to their radio, I go there, I look at this broadcast, and that equipment was so old and archaic, I thought to myself, you people are not truly interested in teaching radio. On top of that, I was not a student. I was not a book person. I was not a reader at that time. I can still remember in that I only went a semester there. I can still remember a professor who taught Greek mythology that I don't know why I was taking, but I did. And I can still remember him talking, and this was in 1960. And I've often thought, it's one of my regrets in life that I didn't have a college degree. It would not have helped me at getting a job in radio, but it would have made me a more well-rounded person. And I just know that as I got into talk radio, I would have drawn on the experiences of a college professor who might have said this and that. It would have enriched my life, there's no question. Plus the discipline that I admire of those who do graduate from college. It was more to fill in the gaps of my life. It would never have gotten me a radio job, but at any rate, it should have. And I should have finished it, but I didn't, and I had plenty of time in my life to have gone 4 years of college and gotten into radio. I didn't need to hurry that project. So I dropped out,